My family secret emerged on an ordinary spring afternoon in 1995, without warning or provocation. The secret came out in an ordinary phone call from a social worker in Detroit who called my sister Sash and said, "Did your mother have a sister?" Well, Sash called me and I said, "That can't be possible. She's an only child. She's told everybody she's an only child. I can hear her voice in my head now. She's so much an only child that she bonded with my wife, who is an only child, over their only childness." She said, "I know exactly what it's like to grow up without brothers and sisters." Well, a phone call came because Roseanne, the social worker, was confused. She had sat in on a therapy session that was actually just the taking of a routine family history with a psychiatrist who she had recommended my mother see. My mother was, at this point, 78 years old. She was still working, driving herself down the expressway in Detroit. It's a Detroit night, by the way. Driving down the expressway in Detroit. But her anxiety level was sky high, and she was in the throes of the beginnings of a depression. And so Roseanne thought it would be good if she went to see a psychiatrist. And so she sat in this initial session. And of course, because she was driving around with my mother had told her, "I'm an only child." So when she revealed to the psychiatrist that she had a sister, Roseanne was confused, and that's what started the secret emerging. We didn't learn too much about this sister. Of course, as a journalist with curiosity embedded in my DNA, I wanted to immediately call my mother and ask her 1,000 questions. But because she was ill and we thought this wasn't the best time, what we learned was only really 3 facts: that my mother was 4 years old and her sister was 2 when her sister was institutionalized, and that my mother had no idea what had happened to her. We didn't even learn her name. Well, because of the situation, it seemed like a betrayal to call my mother or to visit with her and ask her these questions. She had obviously wanted to keep the secret. She kept it her whole life. And, of course, what good would it do? She didn't know what happened to her sister. So, amazingly enough to me, I kept my tongue and in the next 3 years didn't ask her about this at all. And to show you how lightly this skated over the surface of the family, when my mom died in 1999 of complications from emphysema at the age of 82, I wrote in her obituary that went to the Detroit Free Press and the Detroit News that she was an only child. 6 months later, the secret emerged a second time. And this time the secret had a name. My brother, Jeff, called me on the phone and said, "Who the heck is Annie?" He had received a letter, because he was receiving all of my mother's forwarded mail, he had received a letter from a cemetery where our grandparents are buried, asking us if we wanted to plant flowers for the spring. But instead of it listing 2 graves, it listed 3. And the third grave was listed to an Annie Cohn of an unknown age. We contacted the cemetery, and they sent us the burial record. And it showed that Annie Cohn had died at age 53 in 1972. I was home from college that summer, and the death occurred in August, and my mother managed to bury her sister without anyone knowing this. The next thing that happened was that, hold on a second, I lost my place here. So the burial record had information on it that led us to another series of records. It said that a mental hospital had reported Annie's death. Using that information, we managed to obtain other records. Those records included court and hospital records that showed that Annie had been institutionalized not at the age of 2, and my mother wasn't 4, but at the age of 21, and my mother was 23. That meant that they were the same age as my own children, who are 23 and 21, so it's as if my son, who's sitting in the audience, would be denying the existence of his sister whom he had grown up with. The burial record, the hospital records also told us other things about Annie. She had a pretty tough life. She was born with a deformed leg that was amputated when she was 17. And then after that, it began to trigger some of the paranoia that resulted in the mental illness that had her committed to the hospital when she was 21. The description of the last days before her hospitalization were pretty grim. She was moaning and groaning, screaming, talking about how people wanted to see her in her casket, saying that she knew that my grandmother had picked out her casket and that everyone wanted to see her in her grave. And of course the question is, why did my mother keep the secret? Well, I'm not going to say you need to buy the book, but I have some suspicions about what my mother was, why she kept the secret. But one of the most important things is I've tracked down people who grew up in her neighborhood. And of course, it became clear to me that while shame and stigma was probably the context for the reason for keeping the secret, it wasn't the answer, because everybody in the neighborhood knew my mother and Annie. She had grown up there. She was 21 years old. So she wasn't keeping it from them. But what was clear was that she was trapped by the secret, that she had to cut herself off from old friends, and she had to keep the secret from new ones. When the in 1995, when the social worker had called, the next 3 weeks were kind of also a little grim, because my mother ended up being hospitalized herself. And it was clear from that hospitalization that she suffered from keeping the secret. A psychiatrist who hospitalized her didn't intend to keep her more than 2 weeks. She was suffering from the depression, and he wanted to treat her with a particular medication that was a respiratory suppressant. And since my mother had emphysema, that was something that he felt was dangerous, and so he suggested this hospitalization for 2 weeks. When I and my sister and I were there when she went in, and while she voluntarily agreed to go, the next morning she changed her mind and she begged and pleaded us to take her home. And what she said was, Merle, because remember, we didn't know that there was a sister. We thought the sister had gone away when she was 2 years old. She said, I can't stay here, Stephen. You just don't understand. Well, of course, once I got the records, I did understand, because when my mother, before she went into the hospital, she also was moaning and groaning and screaming. And so I think what she was keeping secret was her deepest fear, which was that she was becoming her sister. A few years ago, I went to visit Annie's grave. I don't know what I expected to see when I went there. I mean, what does a secret look like, after all? But the grave was unmarked. All that was there was a concrete frame and the dirt for planting those flowers that the cemetery was offering to plant for us in that letter. A couple of months ago, we put up a headstone on that grave. Given all the deception that had gone on, we didn't think it was appropriate to say anything about how she was beloved, but we thought that we'd just say simply, and this is what it says, Annie Cohen, daughter, sister, aunt, 1919-1972. So we finally restored to her identity that she had, her identity that she lost in her life, and I hope we freed the secret to pass into memory.